Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. But as you know, we are still preparing Fatima. We have prepared it theologically, and then we have been speaking about other apparitions that have something in common with Fatima. And for a while, we have been already speaking about Guadalupe. This is the second to the last program about Guadalupe. And as I told you, this is going to be very critical about Guadalupe. And it's not historical. Those apparitions are not historical. They are a legend. So today we are going to see the facts, the historical facts that somehow prove that it is a legend, with the intention, a good intention, to convert the Aztecs. The means justify the ends. Well, I let you judge. Not all means justify the ends, but some means justify the ends. So, you know, the proverb says the means don't justify the ends. Or the ends are not justifiable by the means. You cannot have a good mean, a good end, and do bad to reach that good end. But anyway, we will see, and I'm not going to say what I really think about all this, but my point is that I don't want to hide this, like some part of the church. Sometimes they try to hide the facts, like the pedophilia, you know, you remember. Well, sometimes you hide things, and that's kind of very natural. If it happens in the family, they will do the same thing. If it happens in another institution, sometimes you hide it. But what you hide sooner or later comes out. And so there are voices very critical of Guadalupe. And I'm not the point is that these voices come from within the church. Now, I probably would disregard these voices because they come from atheists, from agnostics, from people that have an agenda. Well, I don't suppose bishops and rectors and abbots have an agenda. They belong to the very same church you and me belong. So I'm going to analyze these facts with these people. And of course, this is the second to the last, so I want to end these facts of Guadalupe in the last program, analyzing the image, because it is all in the image. It is all in the image. Now it is all in the image. Now, was the image done by flowers? Was there an apparition behind the image? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you is very much questionable. In a letter leaked to the press, the former abbot of the Basilica in Mexico, Basilica of Guadalupe, Mexico City, So this Guillermo Schulenburg, he has been the rector of this basilica for 33 years. So supposedly he knows about Guadalupe. Warned the Pope John Paul II not to canonize Juan Diego. So he told the Pope in a letter, don't canonize Juan Diego. And the point was, well, because Juan Diego never existed. Juan Diego never existed, and all the story of the apparition, it's a legend. That was the point of this abbot. And as a matter of fact, if you go to Guadalupe, I did go to Guadalupe, I visit all those places, and you, one thing that comes to your mind, where is the tomb of Juan Diego? And you find no tomb of Juan Diego. And, well, they could have faked one, but nobody has ever tried to fake a tomb for Juan Diego. So the documents prove that the image of Guadalupe and the chapel in Tepeyac Hill existed before 1553, and that the Indians consider the image a miraculous one that made miracles, but no mention of the apparition of Juan Diego. There was a chapel, yes, in the top of the Tepeyac Hill, where they say that the apparitions took place, in 1553. And inside the chapel there was an image. Yes, that is true, that's a fact. Now, in 1556... Fray Francisco de Bustamante says in a sermon that an image painted yesterday by Marco Scipac de Aquino was making miracles, was sowing too much confusion. So it was said that the image inside that chapel, the image is the one that we, the image of Guadalupe, of course, it was making lots of miracles. Now, another point. Juan de Zumárraga, in his letters and other writings, he never spoke of the existence of Juan Diego or any apparition. Neither Juan Diego nor his visions are mentioned in official ecclesiastical documents of that time until a century after the event. You know, the event is 1531, so a century, more than a century after the story is fabricated. But at the time of Juan Diego never existed, in the time of Juan Zumárraga, the bishop, he never mentioned in his letters, he never mentions Juan Diego or any miracle. On the contrary, he says once that in his lifetime there has been no miracles. No, if he was a witness of a miracle, how could he have written this? So you see the point. He says in this writing that in his lifetime there has never been miracles, and they are not necessary to believe in Jesus. That's what he concludes. I have seen no miracles, I have witnessed no miracles in my lifetime, and I didn't need them to believe in Jesus. So in 1531, Juan de Zumárraga, another historical fact, in 1531, Juan de Zumárraga was not in Mexico. He was in Spain, he was in Europe, because he was going to be elected bishop. When he came, he was not a bishop yet. And it is also a fact that he never built a temple in the Tepeyac Hill. Now, when do we have this legend written? In 1648, a preacher called Miguel Sanchez, he published a book With the account that we know, and the account that I told you, with the voice of the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the words of Juan Diego, and so the legend, the Guadalupe legend. It was written, this book, it was written in 1648, and the apparitions were in 1531. So from 1531 up to 1648, there was nothing about this legend. The legend was written long after. So it all amounts to a symbolic legend that helped convert Mexico's Indians, who not coincidentally worship, they worship an Aztec mother goddess, Tonatzin, mother snake, as we said, on the same hill where the Virgin appeared to Juan Diego. So there was, indeed, there was in that calling, in that hill, there was a temple to this goddess, Tonatzin. So what the church did, and it did it many places, many other places, many temples are built upon, many Christian churches are built upon other temples. And that is very common. For the cathedral of Cordoba, it was a mosque. And it is still a mosque. It is a mosque, but it's not. It's a cathedral. So you use the temples before to change their. So that's called syncretism. But that's it has been done always many times to change one faith for the other and using the elements of the previous one. So what the story about, if you go there to Guadalupe, you see that that image is now 1 meter and 80 centimeters. It's a big image. So if that was the poncho of Juan Diego, then Juan Diego would have to be 2 meters and 20, which is very unlikely that an Aztec had that height. And also there is thing that this thought that the pigments of the ink, they were never found. Well, they were never found because they were never looked for. That's what this old abbot says, because for 40 years the Basilican lets no one touch the image and analyzing it. It's not that we don't have enough technology to find out what sort of painting is that one. Is that the Basilica does not allow. And so also the scientific, the science, NASA scientists have studied the image, that's all a myth that was created by the Basilica. And there is more to that. The Bishop of Tampaulipas, Eduardo Sanchez, he says that the actual image is not a real one. The real one was as disappear, and he says that the whole thing is a legend, and legends, of course, are false stories to exploit the poor people. And also he mentioned, well, this is history, that there was an attempt to canonize Juan Diego in the year 1982, and at that time, the Vatican said by words of Sandro Corradini, he was from the Congregation of Saints, that the Virgin Guadalupe, so this is a pronouncement from the Vatican in the 1982, and so to, in a way so to avoid the canonization, that the Virgin of Guadalupe is a myth made up for the evangelization of Mexico. After a pause, we come back to explain this. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. And so this, we are saying that the whole thing was a legend, a well-intentioned legend for the evangelization of Mexico. Of course, we had the problem that the Aztecs would not convert. It was difficult for them to convert, and so there was all a strategy to have them converted by the thousands. So, but how is this legend is fabricated? Because even legends have an history behind them. So the actual Mary itself tell us that there was an image, there was a real Our Lady of Guadalupe. So they say the historical Our Lady of Guadalupe is from Spain, and the word Guadalupe, we already said what it means. It is from Spain, and Hernán Cortés, the one that conquered the Aztec Empire from 1485 to 1547, he is from Extremadura, from a region close to Cáceres, where this sanctuary of Our Lady of Guadalupe is. So the statue is a statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe, a replica of which he took to Mexico, because it was credited with that this statue, this Our Lady of Guadalupe, helped to expel the Moors from Spain in the Spanish reconquest, in the Christian reconquest of the peninsula. You know that the peninsula was invaded by the Muslims. So the image, it is said that the image helped. And so in a way, he took the image with him. He was devoted to this Our Lady of Guadalupe, took the image with him. Now, with Hernán Cortés, it traveled also a missionary. It's called Fray Pedro de Gante, but he was not Spanish, he was from Belgium, and his real name was Peter van der Muere, who learned the Aztec language and created the first European-style school in Mexico, called San José de los Naturales. One of his promising art students was a young Aztec man called, with a Christian name, of Marcos Chipac de Aquino, one of the three known prolific Aztecs of that period. In 1555 arrived the new Archbishop of Mexico called Alonso de Montúfar, that was the successor of the deceased Zumárraga, was looking to commission a portrait of the Virgin Mary as a sort of teaching aid to help convert the Aztecs. As indeed, when in the last program we will be analyzing this image, you will see that is really indeed a very good teaching instrument. It can be, I can look at it as like a PowerPoint to introduce Christianity into the Aztec culture. Yeah, so Montúfar found the young artist Marcos at the Gante's school, and he commissioned this Marcos to paint this Guadalupe image of Mary. So Marcos looked at this black Madonna that was brought from Spain, and he did. So he really, this Marcos, or probably was told to paint this and paint that and paint the other, because this image is indeed, as you will see in the last program, it's a book in itself. It's a theological book in itself of how in Christianity would be introduced in the Aztec culture. So this was painted, and it was put in that temple that was built over the temple of the goddess Tonantzin. So rather than replacing the Aztec goddess, Montufa's plan was simply to introduce Mary by giving Donatzin a name and a face. Recall that Marcus had painted the Virgin with the dark skin. So this process of using an existing belief to graft, it was graft the Tonazin, the Tonazin image of that goddess called Tonazin, that was a goddess, a mother, and a serpent. It was transformed into the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that is how the legend is fabricated. So it is all around, the Spaniards come to the Aztec Empire. They find it very difficult to introduce Christianity. And so they created these legends. So that these are the critics from the critics from inside the church. As I said, I am not regarding any. There are probably other critics from the world, from the world of science and atheistics and agnostics. But I'm mentioning only the ones from inside the church that really want to be truthful, and they don't want to hide things. And so the legend was fabricated more than one century after. But men don't create from nothing. They create from something. So the legend was created around an image that existed, that was painted by this Marcus. And the image, once it was painted and installed in the place, in the Tepeyac Hill, substituting this Tonazin goddess. So it was a graft. You know what you do grafting? You do that with plants, and we do this also with not just plants, but with beliefs. So you plant a belief in the other, in a previous belief, and you somehow use also the previous belief. Yeah, do you just easy to tell the Aztecs, look, what your goddess Tonatzin, it's not really like you describe that. Your goddess, is a mother. If he's a mother, is a son, so she is the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she doesn't require sacrifices. It's the opposite. She sacrifices her son. So it was easy around this image. But now, why the legend of Guadalupe is built around this image? Well, because the image is in itself miraculous image. So there are miracles that surround the image. There are miracles surrounding the image. And it's from those miracles that I believe that the legend is formed. The intention of the legend is to convert the Aztecs. But the legend has something truth, which is the image that exists. There exists an image, and the image is historical, and it is also historical that it was doing miracles. So let us say that Guadalupe is very much like Our Lady of Aparecida in Brazil. Our Lady of Aparecida it's not that in Brazil Our Lady appeared. No, the appearance is the appearance of an image that appeared surrounded with miracles. So it's a miraculous image, like we have this miracles medal. So Our Lady of Aparecida is not that the Virgin appeared in Brazil as she appeared in France and other places in Portugal. It's not. So we would say that the Aparecida and Guadalupe are more or less the same thing. What has appeared in Guadalupe? It's not the Blessed Mother, but the image. The image was built by all images, even the one of Aparecida, they are built by people. But these images started to have a prominence. These images start to be important and they start to perform. And our Blessed Mother starts to perform miracles by means of this image. And so the legend is built around that image to be more convincing. This is the way I see it, because we cannot deny the facts and these criticisms, because they come from inside the church and even the pronouncements of the Vatican. Now, the Italian people, of all these things, the way they conclude, they say, "Si non è vero, è ben trovato." Then I would say the same in as far as the Guadalupe facts. If it is not true, is very convincing. I don't know how I would translate this. If it is not true, it's very convincing. It's very convenient, and it does. It serves a purpose. I think it would be the best way of translating this Italian expression. They use it many times. Si non è vero, è ben trovato. So if it is not historical truth, it is very much accomplished. It serves a purpose. It's not historical truth, but it serves a purpose and a good purpose.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.